The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Holy Allah, Holy Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله Viewers of Madri Chal, welcome to this series of programs yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And in these series of programs, we go into our past. We look at our great, rich heritage that we have as Muslims, and we look at our pious predecessors and try to learn something from their lives, from their actions, and may see what has happened in our heritage yesterday. Try and make a change today so that we can have a better tomorrow. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala is reported to have said that the one who sends salat upon me, the angels continue to make prayers of mercy for him as long as he sends salat. It is now the person's choice to send less salat or more. Allahu Akbar. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that if we want the angels to make prayers for us, Allahu Akbar, the pure angels to make prayers for us, then one of the ways to achieve this is by sending the Rudh-e Pak salutations upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then inshaAllah azawajal will be rewarded. Now viewers of the channel, we need to understand that if a person loves someone, he makes mention of his beloved. He talks about him all the time. He follows the way of his beloved. He endeavors to imitate the way of his beloved. And this is because loving the acts of one beloved and adopting them are a sign of true love. And when it comes to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we claim, and we all, alhamdulillah, make the claim that we love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but in loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we need to know how to follow him. What are his traits? What are his characteristics? What are the things that we can express our love and show that we are following the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Today, inshallah, we're going to learn a little bit about his characteristics, his habits of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and hopefully, in doing so, we can try and adopt some of them. Now, if you study the characteristics and the habits of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's not as if we're going to ask you to carry a huge, you know, piles of weights and everything and make it hard for you. We just have to make slight changes in our lifestyle and make the intention that we are following the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then inshaAllah azawajal will be rewarded. And inshaAllah azawajal will be on the one, you know, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you'll be with the one that you love. Now, if we find out that showing our love, the way to show our love is to follow him, to obey him, i.e. the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then inshaAllah azawajal, by adopting these characteristics, by adopting these habits of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then inshaAllah azawajal, on the day of judgment, we will be with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm going to begin by giving you an incident in which Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyiduna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala, she says that there was nobody more courteous then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would respond labbaik at your service to whoever called him from his companions or his family. Sayyidina Jarir radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that since I became a Muslim, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has never prevented me from coming to him. And whenever he would see me, he would smile. Allahu Akbar. He would always be cheerful with his companions. He would live in harmony with everyone. He would converse with everyone. He would also be cheerful with the children of the companions and sit them in his lap. He would accept the invitation of all, the free, the slaves, and the poor. He would go out far out to the outer skirts of Medina to visit the sick that lived there, and he would accept the apology of those who apologized. Allahu Akbar. You know, that's just one hadith, two hadiths. You know, one was narrated by Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, and the other one was by Sayyidina Jarir radiallahu anha. And if you look at both of them, and really, just in them two hadiths, if we try to adopt our life in following them. Number one, we're told here that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very courteous. If anybody called out to him, he would say labbaik, he would respond labbaik, and he would respond to them. And nowadays, You know, if you say labbaik to someone, you know, especially if it's in your own household, and your wife calls you out, okay? The wife asks you for you, your spouse calls your name out, and you say labbaik, then people make fun of you. You say labbaik to your wife, what's wrong with that? You know, you say labbaik to your friends, you say labbaik to people that are calling you. This is a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's a way of being courteous, and it's a way of showing respect. In the second hadith, we see that whenever he would see me, he said, the companion, I said that whenever the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would see me, he would smile. Now what a beautiful sunnah that is of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to smile at someone. And nowadays, you know, how much does it cost to smile? Again, I'm not asking you for money here today. Just smiling at people. Just smiling at someone can make a huge difference in their lives, you know. And it can put warmth in someone's lives. And you know, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that smiling is a sadaqah. Yeah? It's a way of giving sadaqah, it's just smiling. And I remember there was an incident once that someone had committed suicide. And when they found the body, there was a note in his pocket. And they pulled out the note. And in the note, he said, he was explaining why he was committing suicide, why he came to the decision of making suicide. But right to the bottom of the note, he says, I'm going now to commit suicide. However, if on the way anybody smiles at me, I will turn back and not commit suicide. Allahu Akbar. Nowadays we don't give salam to each other. Nowadays we don't smile at each other. Nowadays, you know, we look grumpy at each other. And again, these are the things that, you know, build warmth in your hearts by just smiling at someone, by just giving, you know, salam to someone. It can build that love inside you. And I remember from a personal experience once, I was traveling here in the UK. And here in the UK, on the motorways, we have service stations where you can stop and you can go to the washroom. And some of them have namaz facilities and you can go and get coffee or tea or whatever it is. And I remember stopping at one service station, and as I was going in, I can vividly remember that on the right-hand side there was these shops. And as I'm walking past these shops in the queue of the people that were paying, there was a Habshi Muslim there, Somalian Muslim there, and I could tell he had a topi on his head and he had a jubba on, and he had a small beard. And he looked at me and I looked at him, and he smiled, and I smiled back. And then his lips moved. Obviously he was at a distance, I couldn't hear him. His lips moved and my lips moved. And as the lips were moving, both of us did this. And I believe, and I believe that he also believes, that we were giving salam to each other. So I give. And he did the same back. And you know, this incident is probably about 15 years old now, but I still remember it. And I remember as I was coming out, because when I went in and I got whatever I was getting and I came out, he was not there. And as I came out and I got in my car, I thought to myself that, you know, that brother, he smiled at me. That brother gives salam to me. That brother is, you know, from the Ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's the love and the brotherhood that we have. And I said to myself that that brother, I probably, more than likely, I will never ever see him again. I will never see him again. And inshallah, I'll see him on the Day of Judgment. You know, and I did dua for him, and I hope and pray that he does dua for me, that we meet each other one day. But that smile, that salam that he gave me, not knowing me, I didn't know him at all. Probably never going to meet him again, ever. But the fact that he did that put warmth in my heart. And it's something I will never forget. So it's something that we need to do. One, it puts the warp in the heart, but also it is a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He also goes on in that hadith, after the smile, he said, he would always be cheerful with his companions. You know, nowadays, you know, we think that our lives are very, very busy. And because we're busy with our lives, we've got so much going on, it's hard to be cheerful in front of people. Because when we meet them, we've got this going in our mind, that going on in our head, and we think, oh, I've got this to sort out. And so, you know, they meet you and you're struggling to be cheerful in front of them, you're struggling to be polite in front of them, because we think we've got too much on. Yeah, we think we've got too much pressure in our head. We've got too much that we're trying to work out, and because of this, it's hard to be cheerful. Allahu Akbar, are you saying to me that me and you are busier than the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Are you and me saying that we had more in our minds than the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had? Allahu Akbar. Without a doubt, it's not possible. But he would make sure that he was cheerful. And if you think about it, viewers of the show, that you know when you're not feeling right, and you meet someone important, you know, whoever, whatever field you are in, and you think that this is a level of importance, then when you meet someone important, then you'll make an effort. You make an effort, and all of your problems, all of your, you know, maybe you're angry, maybe you're sad, maybe you're this, whatever you are feeling inside, because you're meeting someone important, you'll be polite in front of him. You'll be cheerful in front of him. You'll smile in front of him. Because that person is important to you. Allahu Akbar. For the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, all of his companions were important to him. All of them. For every single one of them he was cheerful. For every single one of them he was polite. For every single one he would smile. For every single one he would give time. And if the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can do it with all of his companions, Allahu Akbar, what excuse have me and you got? You know, you meet someone who's not important, and now in front of him, you're grumpy, or you're putting a face on, and you're not really speaking to him properly, or you just seem angry, you seem stressed in front of him, and he's thinking, you know, he might be thinking, is it something that I've done? Is it something that I've said? You know, or what's the problem with you? And he's trying to work out, and now he's getting stressed, he's getting worked up because of the way that you've met him. Whereas if you think about it, all of these problems, you're now putting your problems onto him because now he's thinking it's something that he's done. What is if? You to understand that it's the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to smile, the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be cheerful with people. Then inshallah azawajal, when you met whoever you meet, inshallah azawajal, you will not be putting your problems onto them, and also you'll be fulfilling the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would converse with everyone, he would talk with everyone. It's not as if he had standards, oh, I'm only going to talk to these people, not to these people. And again, this is something that we need to reflect on. Who do we give time to? He would also be cheerful with the children of the companions and sit them in his lap. He would give love and affection to the children. And nowadays we see that a lot of our elders, a lot of our parents, a lot of our brothers are not giving affection to the children, not giving love to their own children, let alone other children as well. Whereas the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that children are there to be given love, children are there to be given affection. He would accept the invitation of all, the free, the slaves, and the poor. Allahu Akbar. Nowadays, when somebody invites us, so you get an invitation from someone, you think, okay, you accept the invitation. But then all of a sudden, another invitation comes. Now, this invitation is from someone that's quite influential, quite powerful. And all of a sudden, what we do is we say, okay, we'll cancel that invitation and go to this one. Why? Because, oh, he's more influential. What has he done wrong? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go to the houses of everybody, go and people everybody's houses. So again, it's something that we need to change in our lives, that we ensure that we meet people, whoever it is, whoever invites them. Don't think, oh, his house is not good enough, oh, he's not rich enough, oh, he's not powerful enough. Whatever it is, accept the invitations because it's a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and go to them. The final part of the hadith, he would go out far to the outer skirts of Medina to visit the sick that lived there. And he would accept the apology of those who apologized. Visiting sick people, again, is a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when we visit people, again, why do we visit people? Do we visit people because it is something that we feel we have to do? Because if he doesn't, then he'll be annoyed with me. If he doesn't, then what are the family going to say? If he doesn't, then what will people say? If I don't, then, you know, in the future when I need him, he's not going to help me. Yeah? And if that is our intention, then without a doubt, you will get that, yeah? That people won't say anything bad about you. That person will be there for you when you need him. But if we go with the intention that this is a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we go with the intention that we can do dua for them and they can do dua for us, if we go with the intention that by going there, we will be rewarded. We are told that if a person visits a person that is sick for the time that he is there, it is as if he is eating the fruits of paradise. If we go with this intention, then inshallah azza wa jalla will be rewarded. And that is something that we need to change. All of these things that I've just mentioned now, maybe you do, but just a little change, just a little tweak in our characteristics. And inshallah azza wa jalla will be following the sunnah. Inshallah azza wa jalla will be rewarded. And inshallah azza wa jalla will put happiness in the hearts of the people that we meet. Viewers of the channel, we're going to take a small break now. We've got a small package. And inshallah azza wa jalla, when we come back, we're going to continue with the topic of the day. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم Month of Milad. Should we be happy? Of course we should be happy. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in the Holy Quran to be happy. It is mentioned in Surah Yunus. O beloved, say, only Allah's blessings and His rahmah upon which they should rejoice. They should be happy. And what is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It is mentioned in another place. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ We have not sent you except for the mercy for the mankind. So this is the reason why we should be happy. And furthermore, it is mentioned in Fatawa Radawiyah that some of the scholars seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his dream, and asked, "Are you happy with those people who are happy celebrating your Milad?" And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, "I'm happy with those who is happy with me." Nisar teri chahal pehal par hazaro eid-e Rabiul Awwal siwaye Iblis ke jahan mein sabhi to khushiyan mana rahe hain. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before the break, viewers of the channel, we give you a beautiful hadith in which we were told that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would present himself with his family members, his companions, his relatives, his neighbors, and every person. This conduct of his would influence everyone in a way that they would end up loving him. When someone would call him, he would say, "Labbaik." However, like I said, the state of us today, when we look at when we are invited to people's houses, when someone is sick, what do we do? When someone passes away, what do we do? And again, at that moment in time, what is our intention? So when we, all of a sudden, we get a message, nowadays, you know, we have on social media, we'll get a message that, you know, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, somebody's passed away. And straight away, you'll go and find out who it is. And then you'll think to yourself, okay, do I need to go? Do I not need to go? Should I go? Should I not go? And what happens is automatically you start thinking, processing in your mind. Whereas rather than thinking to yourself, can I make time to go? Whoever it is, yeah, I should make time to go. Whoever it is, I should go and attend and do Fatiha there. I should go and attend the funeral. I should go and attend the graveyard. Not only to do dua for the deceased, but also to get the reward as well. But nowadays we look at the person first. Acha, yeah, yeah, he's a quite a powerful family. His family's quite rich. Yeah, yeah, he's quite influential. I think I should go. I should go because of his family. And that again is wrong. And but like I said earlier on, whatever intention you go with, you'll get that. If your intention is to please certain individuals, then you will please certain individuals. But our intention should be to please our Rabb. That should be our intention. We mentioned that many, many times before, that in our lives, whatever we do, our first priority should be to please our Rabb. Now, if it's a result of pleasing Allah Azza wa Jalla, we please others, then okay. If a result of pleasing Allah Azza wa Jalla, we get other benefits, so to speak, then all well and good. But that should be our primary goal, not other things. And what happens is we lie to ourselves. Oh yeah, 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 we're going to please our Rabb. Okay, if you're going to please our Rabb, why have you gone to this janazah but not to this janazah? Why have you visited this sick person and not this sick person? You had that time, but you made excuses when it was this person, but you didn't make excuses when it was this time. So again, we need to be honest with ourselves. We all need to be honest with ourselves. The one person, viewers of the channel, we should not lie to is ourselves. We should not lie to anybody. Yeah, we should not be lying to anybody. But we need to be honest with ourselves at least. If we are honest with ourselves and we judge where we are, we judge what situation we're in, then we can make a change. But if we're not honest with ourselves, we cannot make any changes. You know, nowadays, well, all the time in fact, people are getting tests done at hospitals. They get blood tests done and they get urine tests done and they get other tests done, everything. And when these test results come back, they look at them, and as a result of the results, you know, your iron is low, your cholesterol's high, your sugar's high, whatever it is. As a result of that, you make changes in your lifestyle. Some of them changes you can just have in your lifestyle. Some of them need changes in your lifestyle plus medication as well. But what happens is when you see that, you don't throw it away. You don't think, forget it. You don't believe, you know, you take the test, but then you don't look at the results. What we need to do is with our own lives, we need to do our own test. Where am I? You know, and look at the test results. Am I reading my nawaz? Am I fasting? Am I backbiting? Am I lying? Am I swearing? Am I gossiping? Am I doing this? Am I doing this? Am I doing this? And when we see these results in front of us, and we're honest with ourselves, then in the same way that when you've got cholesterol or sugar or whatever it is, blood pressure, and you make a change in your lifestyle, you need to make a change. Okay, I'm not reading my nawaz, so I need to make a change. I'm going to sort that one out. I've not been fasting. Okay, I'll make sure I sort that one out. I think I've been backbiting. I need to go find out what backbiting is. I need to find out what I need to avoid. I need to find out what I need to do to try and avoid backbiting. Ostentation is another one that I think I'm suffering from. I'll go and find out about that. And in the same way that when your doctor tells you you've got diabetes, or your doctor tells you you've got cholesterol, then you go on the net and you start searching, oh, what do I need to do? How do I need to do it? In the same way that if you feel that you're backbiting, gossiping, lying, swearing, all these diseases of the heart, then alhamdulillah, Dawat Islam has produced many, many books, many, many booklets with regards to these spiritual diseases and with regards to the cures of these spiritual diseases. And inshallah, if you adopt them, then inshallah, you'll see a change. But until we make a change, you know, there's a saying in English, you can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make it drink. Yeah, Dawat Islami can take you to the water. Dawat Islami can make you thirsty for the water. But unless you are willing to make a change in your life, then it will not happen. So we need to make this change. We need to find out where we are. We need to find out, you know, we claim to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do we? We need to make this change in our life, and inshallah, Azza wa Jalla will see the results. There's a beautiful ayat of the Quran in which Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us what we should be doing. He says to us that indeed, for you, following the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jalla is the best thing. Following the Messenger of Allah is best. The famous Quran tafsir by Mufti Ahmadi Al-Khan Naimi rahmatullah ta'ala states, regarding this verse, we come to know that a successful life is the one that is in pursuit of his footsteps. If our living, dying, sleeping and waking are all according to his way, then all of these things become act of worship. Allahu Akbar. Living, dying, sleeping, waking are all in accordance to his way, then all of these things become act of worship. So we can live our lives, viewers of the channel, we can live our lives in such a way that 24 hours a day, we are in a state of ibadat. We are in a state of worship 24 hours a day. How? By adopting the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all of our aspects. How do we eat? How do we talk? How do we walk? How do we sleep? How do we cut our nails? How do we meet people? How do we converse with people? All of these things, if we learn the sunnahs of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and adopt them, then all of that time you're getting rewarded. All of that time you're getting rewarded. And who doesn't want that? And we keep on saying this as well, viewers of the channel, that we need to think like Muslims. You know, I may look like a Muslim, but do I think like a Muslim? And a Muslim needs to think that whatever I'm doing in my life, what can I do to attain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla? What can I do in my life? What changes that I can make in my life that I can make my hereafter bank balance better by doing good deeds? What do I need to do? And look for opportunities in the same way in this dunya we're looking for opportunities to make money. We look for opportunities to improve our business. In the same way, are we looking for opportunities to increase the rewards, to increase our rank on the day of judgment, to increase that status? Are we doing that? Or are we only bothered about the rank, the status, our bank balances in this dunya? Because this is going to disappear. That is the true bank balance. And that is what we need to be concerned about. Views on the channel. It is true that the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla descends upon people who follow the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in getting up, sitting down, walking, sleeping, eating, drinking, and speaking. And this is because those who act upon the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they attain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. These people that follow the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are categorized amongst the beloved people of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They possess the fear, because if you start adopting the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your life, then inshallah Azza wa Jalla, you develop this fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla in your life as well. They develop the mindset of thinking about the afterlife. If all day long you are thinking about how I can achieve good deeds, if all day long you're thinking about how can I avoid sins, then you will be amongst those people that automatically start thinking about the afterlife as well. And if you are in this mindset where you are following the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then inshallah Azza wa Jalla, you will achieve the true love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these people who follow the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will receive the reward of many martyrs. Yes, many martyrs. It is said that if someone adopts a sunnah that is disappearing, and he will receive the reward of 100 martyrs. Allahu Akbar. By adopting the sunnah, you can achieve this reward. These people who follow the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they accomplish success in both worlds, in this dunya and the akhirat. Yes, you will achieve this success not only here but in the hereafter as well. And if you think about it, here in this dunya, views on the channel, can we name people from 200 years ago, 300 years ago, 500 years ago who were very wealthy in their time? Do we remember them? But we remember our pious predecessors. We remember the scholars of the deen that sacrificed their lives. These are the people that achieve success in this dunya because they sacrifice it here. And you know, I firmly believe, viewers of the channel, those people that run after dunya, They never get it. They think they are getting it. But if you speak to these people, those people that are making £1,000 a week, oh, I'm struggling. They're making five, oh, I'm struggling. 10,000, I'm struggling. They're constantly, they're never happy with whatever they've got. Whatever they have got, they may have the biggest mansion, but they want more, they want more. So they've never really achieved their goal. They've never really achieved their goal. And they say that the richest man in the world, views them with the channel, the richest man in the world is the person. Who is the richest man? The richest man is he who's happy with whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given him. Allahu Akbar. How rich am I? How rich are you? Our richness is not dependent on our bank balance. Our richness is dependent on how happy we are with whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us. And so those people that have this mindset that they're happy with whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given them, then they achieve success in this dunya. And those people that are happy with whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given them, then they achieve success in the hereafter as well. And those people, views them in the channel, that follow, that adopt the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then automatically they gain the proximity of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is something that we all should want to try and achieve, to get that closeness of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to be following his lifestyle, to following the ideal role model. And until we can understand that following the ideal role model is our aim in life. If we want to achieve the hereafter, if we want to achieve the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, like I said many, many times before, our aim should be to achieve the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Then, to achieve it, like I said in the ayat of the Quran before, where Allah Azza wa Jalla says, indeed for you, following the messenger of Allah is best. Following the messenger of Allah is best. That's the best thing that we can do. And if we're told that that is the best thing that we can do, then what should we do? Without a doubt, we should try our most best to follow the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. Sayyidina Ali bin Hussein radiallahu ta'ala saw Sayyidina Hibatul Tabari rahmatullah ta'ala in his dream. And he asked him, how did Allah Azza wa Jal deal with you? Sayyidina Hibatullah radiallahu ta'ala answered, Allah Azza wa Jal forgive me. Allah Azza wa Jal forgive me. He was asked, on what basis were you forgiven? He says, because of acting upon the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. If we can make that change in our lives and try our utmost best. You know, if you look at the sunnahs that we mentioned so far, and we'll try and mention some more, they're not hard to act upon. Just little changes. You know, little changes in our character. Then inshallah, as we will see a change in our lives. Viewers of the channel, inshallah, we're going to go to a break now. We've got the kalam of the day, inshallah. And when we come back, we're going to continue with this topic. So let's listen to this kalam, and I hope that you enjoy it and I can enjoy it here in the studio. And then when we come back, we'll continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Marhaba ya Mustafa, marhaba ya Mustafa, marhaba ya Mustafa, marhaba, marhaba.
Marhaba, marhaba ya Rasulallah.
نہ کیوں آج جھومے کے سرکار آئے خدا کی خدائی کے مختار آئے
مرحبا مرحبا یا رسول اللہ مرحبا مرحبا یا رسول اللہ مرحبا مرحبا یا رسول اللہ مرحبا مرحبا یا رسول اللہ
مختار آئے لو آ جائے امت کے غم خوار آئے نہ کیوں بارہویں پہ ہمیں پیار آئے نہ کیوں بارہویں پہ ہمیں پیار آئے کہ آئے اسی روز سرکار آئے
مرحبا مرحبا یا رسول اللہ
مبارک تجھے آمینہ وہ مبارک لاکھ تیرے گھر شہنشاہ ابرار آئے، مبارک حلیمہ تجھے بھی مبارک، مبارک حلیمہ تجھے بھی مبارک، تیرے گھر میں نبیوں کے سردار آئے۔
مرحبا مرحبا یا رسول اللہ، مرحبا مرحبا یا رسول اللہ، مرحبا مرحبا یا رسول اللہ، مرحبا مرحبا یا رسول اللہ۔
مسلمانوں صبح بغارہ مبارک، وہ برسات انوار سرکار آئے، درودوں کے گجرے لیے اب بڑھو تم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم،
درودوں کے گجرے لیے اب بڑھو تم، وہ آئے کے سالار آئے۔
مرحبا مرحبا یا رسول اللہ، مرحبا مرحبا یا رسول اللہ، مرحبا مرحبا یا رسول اللہ، مرحبا مرحبا یا رسول اللہ۔
ولادت کا صدقہ ہو اخلاق اچھا، نہ ہم کو ہنسی شاہ بیچار آئے، ولادت کا صدقہ گناہوں سے نفرت ہو، اچھائیوں پر مجھے پیار آئے۔ ولادت کا صدقہ جیوں میں جاگا تک، نہ نزدیک دنیا بیکار آئے، ولادت کا صدقہ ہمیں اپنا غم دو، شغاشش میں نم کے طلب گار آئے۔ ولادت کا صدقہ گو پابند سنت، ہمیں آر فیشن سے سرکار آئے۔ ولادت کا صدقہ بیاں میں اثر دو، ہو اسلام اس کی جو بدکار آئے۔ ولادت کا صدقہ مدینے میں آقا، ولادت کا صدقہ مدینے میں آقا، مجھے موت ہے میرے سرکار آئے۔
مرحبا مرحبا یا رسول اللہ، مرحبا مرحبا یا رسول اللہ، مرحبا مرحبا یا رسول اللہ، مرحبا مرحبا یا رسول اللہ۔
ولادت کا صدقہ نقاب اب اٹھا دو لیے، ہم سب امید دیدار آئے۔ ولادت کا صدقہ پڑوسی بنانا، شاہ خلد میں جب یہ بدکار آئے۔ ولادت کا صدقہ شاہ زندگی بھر، ولادت کا صدقہ شاہ زندگی بھر، مدینے میں گئے سال اتار آئے۔
مرحبا مرحبا یا رسول اللہ، مرحبا مرحبا یا رسول اللہ، مرحبا مرحبا یا رسول اللہ، مرحبا مرحبا یا رسول اللہ۔
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔ MashaAllah. Viewers and listeners, I hope that you enjoyed that kalam at home as much as I enjoyed it in the studio. I was able to listen it in my APC, inshallah. And these kalams, again, like we said many, many times before, if we listen them in our houses and we listen with, have them in our houses when the children are there, explain to the children what these kalams are about, what these naats are about, and instill the love inside them. This is what the whole purpose of this poetry is, to instill the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam in the hearts of ourselves and our children as well. And in today's program, we're talking about the characteristics, the habits, the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam, and how important it is for us to follow it, and how we should try and learn about it and adopt it in our lifetime. And we also find out, viewers in the channel, if we look at our pious predecessors, because whenever in this series of programs, yesterday, today and tomorrow, we talk about our pious predecessors, and if you look at any of them, any one of our pious predecessors that you look up, then their objective in life was to adopt the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They all did it. None of them said, okay, I'll do this, but I won't do this. No, astaghfirullah, none of them did that. All of them, all of our pious predecessors, they all adopted and followed the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they would follow it to extremities. They would, you know, if they find out anything was a sunnah, any small sunnah, maybe it would seem small to us, but for them, if they find out it was a sunnah, they would act upon it. And I'm going to give you an incident. It's narrated in the book Fizan Sunnat, the famous book that's been written by the founder of Dawah Islami, Mulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, may Allah Azza wa Jal keep his shadow upon him. On page 263 of volume 1 of this famous book, he writes that the eminent hadith scholar Sayyidina Khutba bin Khalid Rahmatullahi Ta'ala was invited to a dinner by the Khalif of Baghdad, Mamun Rashid. After eating, he began to pick up the bits that had fallen and ate them. Astonished, Khalif Mamun Rashid said to him, "O Sheikh, is your hunger still not satiated? Are you not full?" He replied, "Of course it is. It is actually a matter of the hadith that Sayyidina Hamad bin Salama radiallahu ta'ala has mentioned to me, that whoever picks up the bits from the dining mat and eats them will become fearless of being dependent on another. I was acting upon this hadith." Allahu Akbar. Listen to this. Mamun Rashid became really impressed, and he gave a signal to his servant, who brought 1,000 dinars wrapped up in a cloth. And the Khalif of Baghdad, Mamun Rashid, gifted it, these dinars, to Sayyidina Khutba bin Khalid, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, as a gift. And the latter, Sayyidina Khutba bin Khalid, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, said that the blessings of acting upon this hadith have immediately become apparent. Allahu Akbar. And we learn some important matters from there. The first is that picking up and eating the bits that have fallen onto the dining mat bring blessings to us and sustenance to us and protects one from financial hardship. But nowadays, you know, but alack, if we look at us, so when you're eating on the dining mat, number one, eating on a dining mat is a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Eating on the floor with the dining mat is a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And food falls. Sometimes food falls out of the plate, rice or whatever, it falls out of the plate. It is a sunnah to pick that up and to eat it. Yeah, as long as it's clean, it's not falling into a dirty place. And if you can clean it, but eat it. It is a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in this, we learn that one, it is a sunnah, and two, we learn the importance of not wasting food. But today, if we look at ourselves, what do? One, we're not grateful that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us with that food. You know, whenever you have food in front of you, first of all, be thankful. Ya Allah, you blessed me. And nowadays, you know, we have days in our houses where there's not one dish there, there's not two dishes, there's four or five dishes that are there. And you're looking at the dishes and you still say, nothing I like here. Yeah. And you complain about the food. You know, we should not be complaining about the food. We should be thankful of whatever food Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us, whatever we are given in front of us. And just ponder for a moment that there are people around the world that don't have the food that you have. Don't have any of the portions of the food that you have. Maybe never seen the type of food that you are eating. And yet, what do? One, we're not thankful about the food. Two, we waste the food. And then we're not happy with the food. And all of these things are not right views in the channel. They go against the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's even worse when you go to weddings, where you see people picking up a piece of chicken, they take one bite out of it and put it down. Because to get the remaining meat off there takes time, where it's easy to pick up another chicken leg and take a full bite of it. And that way you get more chicken in the mouth. What has happened is that leg is there, that bone is there, there's meat on that bone there, it's wasted. We're at the weddings, we fill our plates. Yeah. You know, our eyes are bigger than our stomachs, and we don't eat all that food, we waste that food. So before the food even falls on the dining mat, and we pick it up, because it's a sunnah, what we do is we waste food. We waste food. How much food have we wasted? Not only that, when we go shopping, when we go to the superstores, and we go shopping, even then our eyes are bigger than our stomachs, we buy things. You know, because nowadays there's this phenomenon, buy one, get one free, buy one, second one, 50% off, or whatever it is, and so, oh yeah, that's a good offer, and we buy it. And yet, in reality, we can't eat it. It's going to go off before we eat it, and so we've wasted that food. So this greed that we have inside us is something that we need to be very careful of, because we are disrespecting food. And then, if we are fortunate enough that we do eat our food and we clean our plates according to the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then, you know, whatever food has fallen on the dining mat, that should be picked up and eaten. Not, you know, neglected or rejected and thought, no, I'm not eating that. Again, this is a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we see here as well, we also a very important we see here, that in this particular incident, this person, this pious person, who was he in front of? He was in front of the Khalifa of the time, Mamun Rashid. In front of an important person. But in front of that important person, even then, he understood that I don't care who's in front of me. This is the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And nowadays, well, we think twice about it. Nowadays, astaghfirullah, what even happens is when we're with important people, namaz time's going. You know, inside us, we're feeling guilty. Oh, I'm going to miss my namaz. But because that important person is in front of you, what happens is in them cases, some people miss their namaz because, oh, we don't want to disturb this person. Oh, what will he say if I get up now and go and read my namaz? Oi, oi, oi. Let alone the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're afraid of following the faraid that is upon us. Is that how low we've gone that we are bothered about what people will say when it comes to our faraid? You know, we are talking here about those people that were not afraid of adopting the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no matter who was in front of them. Whereas today, what happens with us, we're afraid of following the faraid that is in front of us. We're afraid of fasting during the month of Ramadan because, oh, what's our office, people in the office going to say if they see me fasting? Because what will happen is, oh, any mistake I make in the office, they're going to say, oh, it's because you're fasting. And because of that, we think, you know what, forget it, I won't bother fasting. That's not an excuse. In the same way that making the excuse of not reading your namaz, there's no excuse. Or what will people say if I get up and go to the bathroom and do wuzu? What will people say if I pull out a prayer mat and read my namaz? What will people say? What are you going to say on the Day of Judgment? When you are asked, why did you not read your salah? Because I was afraid of him. Okay. So you're afraid of him. You're afraid of what he might say. But you're not afraid of the Day of Judgment. You're not afraid of the repercussions of missing that salah. You're not afraid of the repercussions of committing the sin of missing your salah. And we need to think about this. We need to change views of the channel. We should not be afraid no matter where you are. You should always prepare your life around your salah times. You are traveling. You know, make sure you have a prayer mat in your car. You are traveling. Make sure you have a bottle of water in your car. You are traveling. Make sure you're conscious of the time for salah. And no matter where it is, stop, read your salah. Even if it's in the pouring rain, read your salah. You may say, oh, it's raining outside. If I read my salah, I'm going to get ill. That illness will be a blessing for you. If you got ill as a result of reading your salah, that illness will be a blessing for you. And also remember this, we've said it many, many times, that never give up a good deed for the sake of hardship, because that hardship will disappear, but the good deed will stay with you forever. Never give up your salah because it is hard. Never give it up, because that hardship will disappear, but that salah, the reward of that, will stay with you forever. Not only that, if you give up that good deed, in this particular case, your salah, because of hardship, or because of whatever reason, whatever the reason is, then that sin will stay with you forever. We cannot burden ourselves with these sins, viewers of the channel. We need to make a change in our life. We need to make sure that we adopt the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But before that, we make sure we adopt the faraid in our lives. That we read our namaz, we fast during the month of Ramadan. If zakat is due upon us, we pay that zakat. If hajj is farz upon us, we perform the hajj. But we need to change. You cannot force someone. I cannot come to your house and grab hold of you and make you read your salah. I cannot grab hold of you and say, okay, come on, do your calculations. What is your zakat? Come on, give me the money right now. I cannot book a ticket for you and say, okay, go on the hajj. I cannot wait you for sari and say, here, eat this food and keep you with me for the 12 hours and make sure you don't eat anything. Me and you, we all need to make this change. And the only way we're going to make this change, if we understand the importance of making this change, we understand the importance of following the faraid, we understand the importance of adopting the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Only then will we understand the importance of doing these things, and only then will we do them. And then what will happen is, you will find time for salah, you'll find time for all of these things, because this will become your important thing in your life. You know, whatever is important in your life, you find time for. Some people have hobbies. That they have, I don't know, football, or they go to the gym, or they go to other things. Whatever is important in their life, they make sure they find time for it. And nothing else matters. So you can say, oh, come on, brother, I want you to meet at this time. And, oh, I'm going to the gym. I'm going to play football. I'm going to do this. And that is what is important to them. And they make sure that no matter what happens, that they will be at their gym, they will be playing football, they will be cycling, whatever this is they do, they will do it. In the same way, viewers on the channel, we need to make sure that our salah is important to us. That we make sure that we have time for our salah and everything else revolves around it. And we make sure that that is our time. Viewers on the channel, we're going to take another small break now. We've got a package, the final package of the day, inshallah. We'll go to the package of the day and then we'll come back and sum up this program, inshallah. Let's go to the package. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, as much place as a whip covers in heaven, it is better than the world and its things. Commenting on this hadith, Allama Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlvi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has stated, a little place in heaven is better than the world and its things. To mention a whip refers to a custom of the past, when a horseman would throw his whip at the place where he wanted to get off, so that no one else would get off there. A renowned exegete of the Quran and the Hadith, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naini rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has stated that mentioning a whip implies a little place of heaven. Indeed, heavenly favors are eternal, while worldly things are mortal. Worldly comforts come with troubles, whereas heavenly favors are pure and are not mixed with any troubles. Worldly things are inferior, while those of heaven are superior. Therefore, the world bears no comparison with even a little place of heaven. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, I've just realized that, you know, 15 minutes of this program has gone, and really we've only scratched the surface of the blessed habits, the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are many, many incidents that we can read, many, many books that we can read that are taught, that teach us the blessed habits. And I'm just going to read out a particular hadith of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's stated in page 27 of the book titled Sahaba Kiram Ki Ishq Rasul, that Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala mentioned that one companion of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a tailor, and he invited the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his home for a meal. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted the invitation and arrived at his home on the stipulated day. He said, I too was also present with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during that invitation. Roti made of barley and curry containing gurd. Gurd is you know, they call it in the Urdu qaddu. It's like a large turnip, you know, like a turnip type meal. And bland dry meat was presented to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, whilst eating, I saw that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was looking for the pieces of gurd from around the dish. From the point I saw that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked gurd so much, I too began liking it for myself. Now the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would eat this gurd, it's like a turnip type of dish. And the companion said that because the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked it, then I also started to like that particular dish. Now this again is a sign of the lovers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, whatever the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't do, whatever he liked, whatever he disliked, all of these are adopted by the lovers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So from this particular hadith that we mentioned, there are a few things that we learn. Number one, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam here has accepted the invitation of his servants and slaves, even if they are lower in rank. So this is something that we should do. We should not look at people and think, oh, they're not my rank, so I'm not going to go to the house. Secondly, it is good to share the food in the bowl with one servant. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam shared the food. It is sunnah to like that gurdu, that gurd sharif, and to the sunnah. And this sunnah is also the way that the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would show the love. So this is something that, again, we need to find out what are the sunnah. And I'm going to quickly mention, because we've only got literally 6 or 7 minutes. In a hadith, it states, Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha states, I never saw the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such a way that his overlook could be seen. He would only smile. You know, people, when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled, you could see his blessed teeth. But he never smiled in such a way that his mouth was open. You could see, you know, he was laughing. You could hear and see inside his mouth. So again, smiling is a sunnah, but laughing is not. The companions saw the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smile on many occasions, and they too would also act upon smiling. Sayyidina Umme Darda states that whenever Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu would speak, he would smile. She further states that she too Shisu said to him, leave the habits of yours, otherwise people will think you are mad. Sayyidina Abu Darda replied, whenever I saw or heard the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speak, he would smile. So whenever he was speaking, he would smile. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah, these are all quickly, I'm just going to mention some hadiths, some sunnahs of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we can fill in these 5-6 minutes and we can learn some of these sunnahs. When it comes to sneezing, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would dislike sneezing loudly. When he would need to sneeze, he would cover his blessed mouth with a cloth or with his blessed hand. And nowadays people say, you know, it's good etiquette to cover yourself when you cough or cover yourself when you sneeze. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us this 1400 years ago, that when he sneezed or coughed, he would cover his face. When going to sleep, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would place his blessed right hand under his blessed cheek. And he would recite the dua of sleeping, that, oh Allah, with your name I die and with your name I sleep. And he would recite the duas of going to sleep and waking up. Again, when I say to you, if you lie down and you sleep in the right, on your right hand side with your hand on that, how much effort is that? But again, you get the swab, the blessings of following the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would drink water in 3 breaths. I needed that water anyway. So these are, again, drinking water in 3 breaths is the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked fragrance. He would never reject a gift of fragrance, and he would use fragrance of musk or ambergris. These are the sunnahs of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When looking in the mirror, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would thank Allah azza wa jal. He would recite the dua of thanking Allah azza wa jal. These are the things that the Prophet of Allah, and all these things that we do anyway. Yeah. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would always guard his tongue and only speak of beneficial matters. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would show love to those who would come to him and never did an action that would create hatred. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would mention the goodness of people's good actions and reinforce them. He would mention an evil thing as being evil and prohibit acting upon it. He adopted moderation in every manner. When going to a place, he would sit wherever he would find a space, and he would encourage others to do the same. He would be mindful of the rights of those he sat with. Those who would visit the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would feel as though they were the most loved of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, when I read this particular hadith, years ago, that when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would meet people, whether people would come meet them, the people would feel as if they were the most loved of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know, alhamdulillah, I've been blessed on several occasions to meet Amir al-Sunnah Mulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, the founder of Dawat Islami, and recently, I've not seen it on Madrid Channel, but sometimes they used to show the mulaqat where people would line up and meet Amir al-Sunnah. And the queue would be 500, 600, maybe 1,000 people are meeting him. And so you'd be in this queue and you'd be getting tired being in this queue. But then when you meet Amir al-Sunnah, this is my personal experience. I remember meeting him once, and when he met me, and I've realized that whenever this happens, he met me in such a manner that made me feel that he's been waiting for me all night. Yeah, he's not meeting any of these people. He's been waiting all night to see me. His smile, his expression, his love, the way he meets me is as if he's been waiting for me all night. But that's not true. That's not true, views of the channel. I remember I came to one side and I was watching, and I was realizing that Amir al-Sunnah is meeting everybody in that same way. He's making everyone feel so happy. And I realize that this is the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That meet people in such a way that they think that, you know, you've been looking for them. You meet them in such a way that they feel happy that they met you. Yeah? And meet them in such a way that they feel that you're happy to see them. Oh, brother, mashallah, I haven't seen you for ages. Oh, you know, you made my day now, mashallah. I haven't seen you for such a long time. Mashallah, mashallah. How are you? Everything okay, mashallah? I'm so happy to see you. Now think what impact that will have on him. What would we do? Sorry. That's how we meet people. Now what impact is that going to have on the person in front of you? And again, if we realize that this is the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that his characteristics, his manners in meeting people were such that automatically would instill love in the heart of the people in front of him. And if we want people to follow the deen of Islam, if we want people to come close to the deen of Islam, come close to the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that will only happen if we adopt the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives and meet people in such a way that when they meet us, they're happy to meet us. They look forward to meeting us. Rather than when they see us at a distance, they avoid us and go down a different street. If that's happening, then there's something wrong with us, not with them, with us. We are the problem. We need to realize that people should be wanting to meet us, wanting to come close to us. If our aim in life is to call people to the deen of Islam, if our aim is the life, is the aim of Islam that I must strive to rectify myself and rectify the people of the whole world by bringing them close to the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we need to change the way we meet people. Not only would that have the impact of bringing them closer to you, but it also, you're following the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're putting warmth in their hearts, you're putting sadaqah, you're creating this sadaqah for you. These reward meter that you need to keep generating, it is there for you. His generosity, his good character were general for all. It wasn't as if he was good with certain people and bad with them. He was generous in his good conduct for everybody. You know, and that again, we need to ask ourselves, that what is our character when we're outside the house? And what is our character when we're inside the house? When we're outside the house and we meet people, are we kind, are we gentle, you know, and we're smiling at people, and then when we get home, we're all grumpy, and we don't give our spouses the time of day, we don't want to speak to them, we don't want to, you know, care for them, we do nothing for them. Yet outside, we'll take our friends out for meals, outside we'll go here, there, and everything, we'll do all sorts of things, but when it comes to family, we're not interested. You know, our characteristics need to be the same. We need to ensure that we give our family time, give them the love and respect that is due to them. Spend on our family, there's a sadaqah to spend on your family. So we need to do these things. And so views of each other are many, many other sunnahs of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I would advise all of you to come close to the environment of Dawat Islami, attend the weekly ijtimaas, travel in the way of Allah azza wa jalla in the form of Madhik Afaz. And inshaAllah azza wa jalla, by doing this, you will learn the way of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You'll be encouraged to act upon the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Only then, and inshaAllah then, we will see a change in our lives, we'll see a change in our families, and inshaAllah azza wa jalla, when we enter that dark and lonely grave, we'll see the benefits of acting upon the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Viewers of the channel, you've been watching yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And inshaAllah azza wa jalla, until the next time, keep watching Madhini channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah, Awliya Allah, the universe is the body.